And I hope by the end of the message today to recapture the true meaning of the Lord's Day. Look with me at Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. That's all I want to preach on. Matter of fact, I want to break that down a little more simpler. I just want to deal with that phrase, the Lord's Day. The first thought that I have is reference to the Lord's Day. Reference to the Lord's Day. The only place the Bible makes reference to the Lord's Day is here in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. Now, what is so unique about the Lord's Day? Well, it's unique in that it's only found in Scripture here. But if you read the early church, the early Christian writers from the 1st and 2nd and 3rd centuries, they use the phrase the Lord's Day over and over and over again. Well, how can John, with no explanation, just say that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and not tell us what the Lord's Day is? Well, that's very obvious. John's book, the Revelation, was written at the end of the first century. This was the last book that was written in your Bible. This is, from our perspective, the newest book of the Bible. This is the last one that was written. By the end of the first century, John's audience knew exactly what the Lord's Day was. When he said the Lord's Day, there was no mistaking what it was. There was no doubt what the Lord's Day was. But we've come a long ways from John writing this to a group of people that knew exactly what it meant. If you look up the phrase on the internet, you will get three options for the Lord's Day. You will get the option of it being the Sabbath. The Sabbath occurred at the last day of the week, and that was Saturday. John is not talking about the Sabbath day. If he were talking about the Sabbath day, he would have said, I was in the Spirit on the Sabbath day. There's a difference between the Sabbath day and the Lord's Day. Another option that is given for the explanation of what the recognition here in Scripture is, the Lord's Day is referring to the day of the Lord. Now that wouldn't make any sense. Although some people believe that's what it is. The day of the Lord is when Jesus Christ comes back. You ever heard someone say, He's going to have His day. Jesus is going to have His day. And the day of the Lord is when Jesus Christ sets His foot back on the earth and He makes His enemies His footstool. He crushes the adversaries of our God. He rewards and redeems all of His people from the curse of sin fully and finally. That's the day of the Lord. Now, how could John be in that day if he was writing this about 90 AD? Well, we're not talking about time travel here. John's not talking about the day of the Lord. He's talking about the Lord's day. Well, how do we know exactly what John's audience was thinking about and what John was writing about? Well, everyone that lived in those early centuries all referred to Sunday as the Lord's day. Sunday is the Lord's day. Now, that brings me to my next point. I have five, by the way. Some of you keep count. You smile as we get closer to four and five. So I'll give you a light at the end of the tunnel this morning. We're on point number two. I want to talk about the resurrection that occurred on the Lord's Day. A resurrection on the Lord's Day. The only reference in Scripture is here in Revelation. But when we talk about the resurrection on the Lord's Day, we find it recorded in every single gospel. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, the Bible says, In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came and other women to see the sculptor. Now, when they came to the sepulcher and looked in there, when did that occur? It said it happened on the first day of the week. It was after the Sabbath. Mark's gospel says it this way. In Mark chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, we read, And when the Sabbath was passed. Now, when's the Sabbath? Saturday. Now, what comes after Saturday? Okay. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Solomon brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, in the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. Now, folks, there's no other way to mistake what Mark is saying here when they came early in the morning after the Sabbath day. Then he says they came with the rising of the sun on the first day of the week. We all know exactly what's being described. It is Sunday. Now, what about Luke? Luke was a doctor. He had a different perspective. I bet Luke had something different to say. The last chapter of Luke, verse 24, verse 1 says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them." My stars, friends, it doesn't matter who we read, whether it's Matthew, whether it's Mark, whether it's Luke. Now what about John? John wrote his gospel much, much later than the other three gospel writers. John's writing career occurred at the end of his life after most of the other apostles were passed away. And what John's gospel is primarily filling in the blanks of the first three gospel writers. John gives us more information that the first three writers didn't give us. John gives us and answers a lot of questions in his gospel that are not found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So John would probably gloss over the fact that Jesus Christ rose on the first day. Let's see. John chapter 20, verse 1. "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone rolled away from the sepulchre." Folks, when God says something in Scripture, is it mandatory? Is it true? If He says it twice, what's the purpose of that? Well, He's probably talking to Baptists if He says it twice. Because I'm a Baptist and I tend to be hard of hearing when God says stuff to me. What if God says it three times? By three different authors? Is it more true than it already was? Have you ever had to tell your kids something three times? After three times, you might have included this phrase, "Do not make me say it again." The resurrection occurred on the Lord's Day. We know that because all four gospel writers wrote it down. They made it clear. They wrote it two different ways. They wrote it as the day after Saturday. They wrote it as the first day of the week. And some of them said it both ways at the same time. What are they trying to do? They're trying to give us no doubt what happened and when it happened. Now, how many of you know the exact date that Jesus was born? You celebrate His birth December 25th. Do we know the exact date that Jesus came out of the tomb? Yes, we do. Because the Passover had occurred that Sabbath. And He arose from the grave the first day of the week after that Sabbath. He arose Sunday morning, the day after the Sabbath. We know that Jesus was 33 years old when He died. We can go back and know when Jesus rose from the grave. Do you want to know why Easter is on a different day every year, but it's always on a Sunday every year? Sometimes it's in March, sometimes it's in April, sometimes it's in mid-April, sometimes it's on my birthday, and I get boiled eggs instead of birthday cake for my birthday. Some of you don't know the struggle. You complain about having a birthday at Christmas. Well, let me tell you something, mister. You could spend your birthday walking around the yard looking for boiled eggs. How does that sound? Why does this Easter always move? Because the Passover is not lined up on our calendar. But Easter is always the Sunday after the Jewish Passover. We know that because all four gospel writers got it right. So it's a certain fact. Easter's always the first Sunday after Passover. I say Easter is the most biblical New Testament holiday that we could celebrate. But here's the question before us this morning. Does the Lord's Day always refer to Easter and no other day? Is it Easter only? Do we get together once a year and celebrate the Lord's Day? Was John in the Spirit on Easter when he wrote the book of Revelation? Or was he in the Spirit on any given Sunday? That's what we must determine. What is the true meaning of the Lord's Day? You say, well, Brother Harold, it don't matter as long as we know it was on a Sunday, whether we get one Lord's Day a year or whether we get 52 Lord's Days a year. Why does it matter? Well, I want to give you point number three, the recognition of the Lord's Day. What did the early church, what did the apostles do on Sunday after Jesus was resurrected from the dead? What was the recognition? What was the standard practice? What did they do? What was normal for the church to meet on? It was in John chapter 20, verse 1, and we established that the Lord rose from the grave on the first day of the week after the Passover. Sunday morning, the grave was empty. That night, in John chapter 20, verse 19, it says, the same day at evening. Now, can I translate that from the King James to the Harold Smith translation? Sunday night. Sunday night. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week. Now, why is God telling us all this over and over and over? Because we don't get it. Because there's going to come a day 2,000 years later when people no longer understand what the Lord's Day means. So He says it over and over and over in Scripture so that we can find it over and over and over and understand and reclaim the true meaning of the Lord's Day. Verse 19, He says, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be with you. The very first Sunday, after the Lord came from the grave, we have a church service. We have a church service. You say, Brother Harold, that wasn't a church service. Do you pray every Sunday that the Lord would show up? Boom, He did. Right there, the Lord showed up. Oh, God, I wish You'd be with us today as we meet. Answered prayer. No, Brother Harold, that wasn't a church service. Were these people saved? Did God call these people unto Himself? Did Christ die for them? Yes, He said so. What happens when saints get together and God is among them? Is that not church? Have we settled then that the very first Sunday after the resurrection, there was a church service? Now, Brother Hale, don't go too far. We'll have to start having Sunday night service again. The disciples were gathered together, assembled together, and the Lord was among them. Is this the standard procedure? Yes, it is. From here on out, this is exactly what you see. You see the church meeting at various times as they could get together. You see them meeting day by day. You see them meeting early in the morning. You see them meeting at late, at night. You see them meeting around their work schedules. But here's what you find. You find that the church meets on a regular basis every Sunday. Every Sunday. God's people get together every Sunday. Can I prove it? Yes. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. It says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and he continued his speech until midnight. I don't preach near like Paul does, so don't worry. I'm not going till midnight. But notice that when they came together on the first day of the week to break bread, what's being stated? This was their standard practice. The church ate a meal together every Sunday. The breaking of bread was not just the Lord's Supper. It was a meal in which God's people sat down and ate together. And they did this every Sunday. And Paul was with them on a Sunday. So what's the typical day that the early church met? Sunday. People often joke about Baptists and their potluck dinners. And we'll have one next Sunday. That's the most biblical thing a church can do outside of sing, preach, and pray. Eat together. Standard practice. Common practice. This is what goes on. Is it still recognized by the early church later on? Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let me read you verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection of the saints, this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. I have given order to the churches in Galatia, so do ye. Notice that Paul gave orders to churches, plural, in Galatia, which is a region of the country. He told all the churches in Galatia, and he told the church at Corinth. So what we're establishing here is a common practice among these churches. Here's what he says in verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. His God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul said, when you get together on the first day, take up the mission offering. And every man give the missions as the Lord has prospered him. What are we establishing here? That they met regularly on the first day of the week. Did they meet at Easter? Yes. Was that the only day they met? No. Is the Lord's Day one day a year or one day a week? One day a week. One day a week. Understanding the Lord's Day means that it is one day a week. Why? Because the Lord rose on Sunday. Nobody ever said, and they met the day after Passover. They always said they met on the first day of the week. And they met on the first day of the week every week. And that's typically and traditionally what churches do. That's what people do. That's what Christians do. They meet on the first day of the week with other Christians. So, we see the reference to the Lord's Day only occurs once in that phrase. We see the resurrection of the Lord's Day is mentioned over and over and over as being Sunday. Recognition of the Lord's Day is what the early church did. They met every Sunday. Now, point number four. Four or five. Point number four. Regulation of the Lord's Day. Preacher, you got some rules for us? I sure do. Preacher, you're all about rules? I sure am. The Bible's full of rules. Regulation of the Lord's Day. What book would I look into to find that verse that says, ye shall remember Sunday and keep it holy? What verse says, ye shall gather on Sunday every week? What verse says, Sunday's my day and you're going to show up on my day if you're my people? Hey, Brother Harold, I've read the Bible through many times. I've never read any verse that said you have to show up on Sunday. You're absolutely right. Well, how can God give us the regulation of Sunday and say this is His day and not anywhere in Scripture write down that we ought to show up on His day? This is good news, preacher. I'm going to tell my wife to get off my back. There's no Bible verse that says I have to go down there anymore. I don't have to go to your church. Jesus never said go to church on Sunday. Oh, He didn't. You're right, He didn't. But we don't understand the Lord's Day today. Here's what we've done with the Lord's Day. Some people have said we need to blend the Lord's Day with the Sabbath day. And a lot of people hate the Lord's Day, but what they hate about it is they really hate the Sabbath that's been included in the Lord's Day. When my father-in-law grew up, in the summertime, they ran trot lines on the Petitjean River for food to eat. They caught catfish to eat. And I said, so you ran these things? He said, we kept them out all summer. We'd go check them every day, take the catfish off. I said, I thought you couldn't fish on Sunday because that was the Lord's Day. He said, we could take a fish off the hook, but we couldn't bait it back up. Now, if God gave you a fish on Saturday night on the trot line, it was okay so the fish didn't suffer to go ahead and take it off and fillet it, throw it in the grease. But if you baited that hook up, then you're fishing on Sunday, and that's not right. Do you remember the time in our country when you couldn't buy, sell, or trade on a Sunday? I believe we called them the blue laws. No business being done in this country on the Lord's Day. Where in the Bible do we see the blending of the rest of the Sabbath day with the worship of the Lord on the day He rose from the grave? We don't. We don't. Where do we see the apostles filling their crock pots up on Saturday night so their wives don't cook dinner on the Lord's Day, which is a day of rest? We don't. Where do we find the preachers of the gospel not traveling on a Sunday because it's a day of rest? We don't. Well, preacher, how do we get around that? Our Lord is the Lord of the Sabbath. It's His day. It's His day. When we are in Christ Jesus, we are in the Lord of the Sabbath and we rest in Him. That's what it means. So there's no precedence for blending of the Sabbath with the Lord's Day. Number three, regulation of the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is never to be forced on the lost world. You want to make people mad? Take half their weekend away. You want to make people... I know how to make you mad. I'll take half your weekend away. I'll make laws where you lose half your weekend because I'm a Christian. Now, don't you want to come join us down at the Baptist church? Forget you guys. Y'all ruined half my weekend since the time I was a child. Y'all took away Sunday. Did you know that in America they did that? In the colonies, the Puritans made it where you couldn't do anything on the Lord's Day. You couldn't buy, you couldn't sell, you couldn't trade, you couldn't travel. You couldn't do anything on a Sunday. And boy, everybody just wanted to get saved and be a Christian. No, they didn't. They hated Christians. Why? Because they bossed them around and forced the rules on them. Folks, you can't expect lost people to act like Christians because the laws favor Christians. You cannot legalize and make laws that point people to Christ. You can't legislate morality. You can't. It's an impossibility. When we say, I wish everybody would remember the Lord's Day, I wish everybody would act like it's Sunday, you don't live in a world where that happens. But if you're a Christian, you're going to a place where every day's the Lord's Day. You're only but here for a vapor, a brief second, a twinkling of an eye. But you will be with the Lord every day for all of eternity. So why not put up and deal with some pagans while you're here? And instead of trying to force them to be like you, instead of trying to make lost people look and act like saved people, why don't you preach the gospel to them while you're here and then go spend the rest of eternity with the Lord every day? That's the biblical calling. The regulation of the Lord's Day has no Bible verse. It's not to be blended and replaced with the Sabbath day, which was given to the Jews to separate them as a different people. Jesus didn't say to us as Christians, by this will everybody know you're a Christian if you don't fish on Sunday. If you don't play golf on Sunday, everybody will know you're a Christian. No, Jesus said this, by this will all men know that I've loved you if you have love one for another. True? Love one for another. That's love for other Christians in the context that Jesus said it. Now, how can you say you love me if you don't have anything to do with me? How many of you got grown kids that are gone? Wish the kids would come see me. Wish the kids had come. At least bring the grandkids over. I miss them. I haven't seen them in a while. Hey, will you come over? We'll fix a big dinner. Will you do this? We'll do whatever. Come over. No, I'm busy. You can only say that so long, and then mom and dad wonder if you still love them or not. How does God put the regulation of the Lord's Day in the heart of a believer? Number one, He gives him a desire to love and serve Him, and He gives him a desire to love and serve others. Well, I can stay home and watch a preacher on TV, and he's way better than you are, Harold. I don't disagree with that. But you can't be a biblical Christian and do that. Because you're called to love other Christians. And unless they're all meeting in your living room, you're failing miserably at that. You have a biblical mandate by God to get together with His people. How can you say that? Because God wrote His law on our hearts. He didn't have to put it down in a book and say, here, read it. He wrote it on my heart. You mean to tell you when I was the spiritual weakest I've ever been in my life after I was saved? It was when I worked a job that required me to work every other Sunday. That was my shift. I worked Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and every other Sunday, 7 to 7. I didn't go to church on those odd Sundays. Another little trivial fact, I was in the Air National Guard, and we had guard drill one Sunday a month. So I had this every other Sunday rotation. I had one Sunday of guard drill. Guess how many Lord's days I spent each month with the Lord? One. One Sunday a month I went to church. You say, Brother Harold, I bet you were a flame-breathing, water-walking Christian. No. After a few years of going to church once a month, I began to think like this. You know what? I only get one Sunday off a month that I'm not at work. Why am I spending it at church? Why don't I go fishing with my friends? I only get a chance to see them once a month. Being away from God 3 weeks out of every month, being away from God's people 3 weeks out of every month, didn't give me the desire to draw closer to God. It gave me the desire to draw further away from God. What is the solution to people who want away from God? Well, let me ask it to you this way. Your kids want to move out. It's tempting to say this. Well, go out there and see what it's like. Knowing that it's better here than it is out there. But when someone says, I need some time away from God, do we say, oh, that would be great. You need time away from God. No, we say, no, you don't need time away from God. You need more time with God. The solution to your problem is not to get away from God. The solution to your problem is to go to God. Well, what is it that draws us to the God that we want to be away from? Is it not the Holy Spirit that dwells within us? Is that not His role in our life to convince us that this is what's necessary, that this is what we need? The regulation of the Lord's day is not found in here. Not. The regulation of the Lord's day is found in here. Found in here. Well, can you prove that? I can. My fifth point. I have a five. My fifth point. The reason for the Lord's day. Why do we need to meet? I didn't understand this as a child. Why do I have to go to church today, Mom? I want to stay home and play in the creek behind the house. I played in the creek all day Saturday. And if I had my way, I'd go back and play in the creek all day today. I'd build boats and float them down the creek. I'd build dams. I'd catch salamanders. I'd catch crawdads. I'd put them in jars. I'd fight them. Yes, I was a violent youth. I fought salamanders and crawdads and mason jars for entertainment. Without proper parenting, I'd probably been in prison. Why do I have to go to church today? Did not understand that until I was saved by the grace of God. I did not want to go to church every Sunday. It was the last thing I wanted to do. Why today? It's been raining all week. It's sunny on Sunday. Why spend it inside listening to a short, fat preacher from Greenwood rattle on for an hour? Why do that? Well, after I got saved, I realized the reason for the Lord's Day. I need it. I need Sundays. I need Sundays real bad. I want to give you four reasons why I need Sundays. Number one, I need to be reminded by preaching. I need to be reminded by preaching. I need to be reminded of what Christ has done for me. I need to be reminded of what I'm supposed to be doing for Christ. I need to be reminded of why I'm here. I need to be reminded of what kind of a husband I've been called to be to my wife. I need to be reminded of what kind of father I'm to be to my children. I need to be reminded of what kind of neighbor I'm to be to you. I need to be reminded of what kind of pastor that Lee Creek is required to have. I need to be reminded of what God said. Well, Brother Harold, why do you need to be reminded? Because I forget. Because I grow dull. Because I no longer value what needs to be valued. I need to meet every week to be reminded through preaching. Well, I read my Bible every day. That's great. You ought to. But it is the preaching of the Word that God's ordained to encourage and strengthen you and teach you the things that God's required of you. Preaching. Number two, I need to be refreshed by praising Him. I get dull all week. I don't praise God every day. I know some of you get up every morning and you're whistling Amazing Grace and you get out of the shower and you're singing hymns and all this and you get in your car and you're humming a tune in your head. I spend my week listening to Lynyrd Skynyrd and the Marshall Tucker Band and couple of country songs, and I'm not nearly as spiritually sharp as I used to be. You know what I need? Well, you need to sing a hymn, preacher. I sing a hymn. You know what I need more than to hear myself sing a hymn? You know what I need more than some Christian radio station? I need to be in a room with other Christians who are singing these hymns with me. Lo, in the grave he lay. Well, I heard you guys singing that and I thought, these people get it. These people get it. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. It's one thing for me to say it. It's another for you to say it. It's something completely and totally different when we all sing it together at the same time. I need to be refreshed. I come out of here, I got both fists put up, and I'm like to bump into the devil at lunch because I'm ready. I don't always feel that way Friday morning. That refreshing can only be found when we sing with the saints on a Sunday. You say, I don't like the singing here. Probably need to repent of your sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls saved people, love, praise God. Reminded by preaching, refreshed by praise. I need to be, thirdly, reunited with people. People I encounter during the week do not share the same views of Jesus Christ that I do. Hey, Brother Harold, you're a preacher. You're around saved people all the time. I am. But I encounter a lot of lost people, too. And you know what I really enjoy? I like being around people that have the same interest as me. And you do, too. It don't matter what your interest is. If you're interested in fishing, you like to talk fishing. If you're interested in golf, you like to go down to the golf pro and talk to golf people. If whatever you're interested in, if you like quilting, you like to go talk to quilting people. If you're into craft booking, you go to these craft booking deals. But what if you're in Jesus Christ? I don't know what they do at craft booking things. But I know some of you like that stuff, and God bless you. Have fun. Have fun. But where do I go to encounter people who have believed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Where do I go to encounter people who share my love of God's Word? Where do I go to encounter people who have a God-given love for one another? I can't find that anywhere but here. I can't find that any other day but the Lord's day. I can't find that reunion with people that I crave anywhere but here. I hear people tell me, well, Brother Harold, I'm an introvert. Well, when God saved you, He put a love in you for other Christians. And I don't care how introverted you are. I don't care how backwards you are. If you can't fit into a group of people that already love you because God loves you in Christ, you won't fit in anywhere. You don't have a natural predisposition for the people of God. Why in the world do you want to go to heaven and be surrounded with them? Reason for the Lord's Day. Number one, I'm reminded by preaching. Number two, I'm refreshed by praise. Number three, I'm reunited with people. Number four, I'm relieved by prayer. I'm relieved by prayer. Monday, the only prayer I hear is mine. Tuesday, the only prayer I hear is mine. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it's me praying. My prayers tend to get repetitive. Pray for all the mean people in church, and I thank God for all the good ones. I pray that God save lost people and use our church to accomplish it. I pray for missionaries. I pray for my wife and kids. This is just regular old prayers. But when I come to church, I hear other people pray. Have you noticed that? In Sunday school, we open or close with prayer a lot of times, and I'll hear somebody else pray. Sometimes it's a teenager praying, and I'll hear a teenager pray, and their prayers are different than mine, and they cause me to realize that they have a different set of desires and wants that I have, and I don't hear that during the week when I pray. At church, I hear an old man pray. A man that's lived for the Lord for 60 years or more. And I hear a seasoned saint offer up his petition to God on our behalf. You know what prayer does for me? It relieves me. When I don't pray like I should, I know that there are godly people praying for me. When you don't pray like you should know that the church is praying for you because we pray for one another. But when we get together on a Lord's Day, we hear those prayers. That gives me a great amount of peace and confidence. Folks, the resurrection makes all that possible. There is no resurrection. Who are you praying to? A dead Jesus? There is no resurrection. Why even pray? There's no resurrection. Why do we get together? The only bond we have is a dead man that died 2,000 years ago. Let's go fishing. There's no reunion here. This is just a history class. We're going to talk about a guy that died as a criminal 2,000 years ago. Get over it. Read the book and move on with your history lesson. The resurrection makes this possible. Why in the world would we sing praises to a dead guy? Half of your hymnal would qualify as Easter singing because it deals with the fact that Jesus is not dead. He's alive. But if he's dead, then getting together to sing, we'll get together and sing about the War of 1776. We'll get together and sing Dixie or Yankee Doodle Dandy, depending on whose side you were on. We'll sing about dead soldiers. But our God lives, therefore the songs that we sing live. And the resurrection makes our praise possible. What about our preaching? Jesus Christ is dead. I've just wasted, my stars, 40 minutes of your time. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13. He said, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified that God raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not, for the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. If Christ is not raised, our faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. No resurrection of the dead. Grandma's not in heaven. Christ wasn't raised from the dead. Grandpa's not in heaven. In this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. Resurrection makes every bit of this possible. There's no resurrection. There's no sense in being here. There's no resurrection. There's no Lord's Day. There's no Sunday. There's no need. But there is a resurrection. Because of that first Easter, when Christ rose from the grave, what happened? God received Christ to heaven and sent His Spirit upon the earth. And what did His Spirit do? It convicted men of sin. When the Holy Spirit found Harold a sinner, He convicted me that I was a sinner. I didn't by nature admit I was a sinner. Officer, why'd you pull me over? Ma'am, you know you were going 20 over. We by nature don't like to admit we're sinners, do we? Why are you here, officer? We could hear your music 3 blocks away. We try to play innocent. And when it came to my sins, what did I do? I played innocent. I'm a good boy. I'm better than the kids that live down at the end of the street. I'm a good boy. I don't act like that guy in school. What did the Holy Spirit need to do for Harold? He needed to convince me that I was a sinner. And that's what he did. And when he convinced me I was a sinner, I cried out and said, oh, what's going to happen to me? I'm a sinner. Sinners go to hell. How can I escape hell? The Holy Spirit then convinced me of another fact. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the debt of sinners. How do I know that he paid the debt for sinners? A lot of people died on the cross. A lot of people claim to be prophets. A lot of people claim to be God. The Holy Spirit said, here's how you know that Jesus Christ did that. He rose from the dead. When he rose from the dead, what did that do? Did that prove to God Jesus was God? No, God already knew who he was. Proved to me. The Holy Spirit granted me faith to believe that Christ rose from the dead is proof that he had paid my sins. And then what happened? Well, now that I'm saved, I'm going to go do whatever I want until I die. Then I'll have to go to heaven and act like a Christian. No. The same Holy Spirit that came and convinced me I was a sinner. It's the same Holy Spirit that convinced me Christ was my only option. The same Holy Spirit that gave me faith to believe in Him. That same Holy Spirit convinced me that I needed a Lord's Day every week to help me get through the life that God's called me to live. So let me ask you a question. Is the phrase, the Lord's Day, is that a once a year phrase or a once a week practice? Is that a once a year phrase or a once a week practice? Are we saying that it's Easter and we're going to celebrate the Lord's Day? Or do we get up as Christians and say, it's Sunday, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Day? Say, Brother Harold, why does it matter? I'll tell you why it matters. The church's highest attendance is one day out of the year. And we think if we make it on that one day, the Lord's Day, we've done our part. But Christian, you can't make it one day a year. The Lord's Day is important and you need it. And you know you need it. Lord's Day occurs once a week. Because that's about as long as I can go without it. The question that I have for you is, do you have a reason to meet on the Lord's Day? You have a reason to meet every week? You have a need to meet every week? You have a need to get up and gather with God's people? Sing praises to Him. Hear His Word preached. Hear people pray. You're out there right now and you're yawning and you're rolling your eyes back in your head. You're thinking, I'm almost good for 364 more days. I pity you. Pity you. Because you do not understand what God has written on the hearts of His children. He has given us a desire to be together on a regular basis. And if you do not find that important, because you're acting like lost people act. Brother Harold, are you judging me? No, I'm telling you what lost people do. I'm describing a lost person. If I'm describing you, I'm sorry. Sorry. But God's people want to be around God's people. God's people want to study God's Word. God's people want to sing to God. God's people want to pray to God. And God's people want to do it together. And if you don't have that God-given gift to be around God's people on a regular basis, then I beg and plead with you today to repent of your sins and trust the gospel. I pray the Holy Spirit takes the evidence of the Lord's Day and convinces you that you don't have the love for the Lord's Day that you should have. I pray today that you realize, oh my, I might have prayed a prayer years ago. A preacher might have led me through a quick, simple prayer and might have told me I was okay. But I've had no desire to be around God or His people since then. Friends, if nothing changed, nothing changed. If you didn't become a new creature, you're the same old you. Same old you that was a sinner before you met God is still a sinner after you prayed that foolish, shallow prayer. Brother Harold, how do I know it's real? You'll have a whole new view of the Lord's Day. You'll have a whole new view of the Lord's Day. You won't try to force everybody to adhere to the Lord's Day. You'll recognize that God has wrought a work in you and you now love the Lord's Day. And it's important to you. Why? Because it's important to Him. And He gave it to us because we need it. You need the Lord's Day. I do. It ain't because I'm holier than you. It's because I'm weaker than you. I need to be reminded regularly of what my God has done for me in Christ. Brother Hell, what if I miss the Lord's Day? It's okay. You're going to miss the Lord's Day. Nobody in heaven has 100% attendance. There's no extra sticker on your report card when you get to heaven for not missing a Sunday. But if you can miss Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, after Sunday, and the Holy Spirit's not dealing with your heart saying, you need to be under the regular study and worship of the Word, there's something wrong with your heart, friend. And the solution to it is Jesus Christ. And if you will humble yourself before God and confess yourself a sinner and trust that the Jesus Christ, who rose on this same day in the first century, the day after Passover, if you will trust that His death was sufficient for your sins, God will pardon you. Will pardon you. He will put within your heart a desire to be with Him on His day. I pray this Easter, you understand the Lord's day will occur in 7 more days. That's about as long as you can go away from God and His people. I pray I see you all here next Sunday. Let's stand. Ron, what number?